Marriage Today presents Blessings and Curses by Jimmy Evans.
This morning, I'll just tell you, let me try to say this without sounding too evangelistic or preacherly or whatever. The messages this morning are just phenomenal truths from Scripture. I mean, so much so that if I just could have one session with a human being and teach them anything, I believe I would teach what I'm going to teach this morning. It just has the most massive impact on the way you view God, the way you view life, and what you do every single day. And this morning I'm talking now about blessings and curses, and I want to go through the Scriptures with you to help you to understand what is really going on in the world around us and how God relates to us every day. I want you to know that God is the most predictable person in the entire universe. You can predict God. God has told us long ago exactly the way He would operate in our lives, what He would do under certain circumstances, and it never changes. God never changes. He never changes His program and the way that He deals in the affairs of men and the way that He deals in our lives. So you don't have to mistrust God or be afraid of Him, but understand this. We do need to be careful in the way that we live our lives. And this morning, talking about curses, let me begin by reading a scripture from Galatians. And this is what it says about Jesus. I told you, Jesus is the one who sets us free. And whenever we're able to relate to Him, forgive others, that we get to Him, He'll set us free. But listen to what He sets us free from. It says in verse 10 of Galatians 3, "As many as are of the works of the law are under a curse." And that means people who try to work their way to God through their works and not to receive salvation as the grace of God and forgiveness from the grace of God, just as a free gift. And Paul is talking here now to people who have been Judaized, people who are under legalism. And he says, if you're going to try to gain favor with God through legalism and religious performance, you're still under the Old Testament curse. And he says, "For cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And so what that scripture tells us is that Jesus, when He died on the cross, did not just die to take away our sins. He died to remove the curse of sin off of us. See, it's one thing to be forgiven of the sins that you've committed, but we have to understand all sin brings a curse with it. And that's what it says. Jesus became a curse so that the blessing of Abraham could come upon the Gentiles, the non-Jews. Genesis 24:1 says how Abraham was blessed. And here's what it says. God blessed Abraham in every way. He was blessed in his finances. He was blessed in his health. He was blessed in his family. He was blessed in his reputation. He was blessed in every single way. And here's what I want you to understand. Life is not good if you're mostly blessed. Being mostly blessed is like being mostly alive. It doesn't work very well. You want to be alive. Being mostly blessed means you may be blessed in the area of your finances and blessed in the area of your marriage, but you know something? If those things are true and you're sick all the time, how many of you know life stinks? It doesn't matter how much money you have and how wonderful your home life is if you're sick all the time and you're constantly spending all your money going to the doctors and things like that. And I thank God for doctors. But you know, God doesn't want our lives to be spent constantly living without health or living without stable relationships or constantly being a bankrupt and living in poverty and the fear of poverty. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus didn't die so you could be mostly blessed. Jesus died so you could be blessed, so that the blessing of Abraham, and when God looks down upon you, He says, you're blessed in every way. God wants to bless you. Jesus died on the cross not only to forgive us of our sins, but to remove the curse of sin, every corresponding penalty that sin would bring. The issues of curses and blessings spans the Scripture. Genesis chapter 2, God comes to Adam and He says, if you eat of that tree, the one tree that I have told you you cannot eat of, in the day that you eat of that fruit, you will die. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the results of what they did. In Genesis chapter 3, God came and cursed the serpent. He cursed Eve and he cursed Adam. He says, now then, devil, the serpent that you've entered into, now the serpent will be cursed and you'll slither on your stomach all the days of your life. Eve, now you'll have pain in childbirth and your desire will be for your husband, but he will rule over you. And that's talking about a competition for who's boss. No longer will you have this beautiful, intimate friendship that you've had, but because of your sin, I'm cursing your relationship, and it's going to be constantly a headbutting session and vying for authority and strife within your home rather than the blessed relationship that you've had. He looked at Adam and says, no longer are you going to be picking fruit in a garden. You're going to be hacking out a living from an unyielding soil. I curse the soil because of you. And all these things that God said to Adam and Eve. In Genesis 2, he warned them. He told them, if you obey me, you're going to live in this paradise. If you violate my word, death will result. And it did. The curses that God pronounced in Genesis chapter 3 were the result. The words blessing and cursing occur more than 640 times in the scripture. So you could not say that this is not a pronounced doctrine within the Bible. It is everywhere from Genesis to Revelation. The last word in the Old Testament is the word curse. Malachi 4 verses 5 and 6 says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Revelation 22, the last chapter in the Bible, refers to curses two times. The first time it refers to a curse, it refers to the New Jerusalem, the church's final destination, where we will live in the presence of God forever and ever. And referring to the New Jerusalem, it says, there shall no longer be any curse. And then at the very end of the Bible, the very end of Revelation chapter 22, the Bible ends by saying, if any man adds a word to this book, all the plagues of this book will come upon him. And if anyone takes away from what is written in this prophecy, the curses of God will come upon that human being. And so Genesis chapter 2 talks about death. Genesis chapter 3 curses. Revelation 22 is finally when we see the ultimate removal of the curse, but still in this life, a curse is pronounced on anyone who takes away or adds to this book. Blessings and curses is the reality of what's happening around us. It goes back into our past many times. And this morning, what I'm going to talk to you about, some of you here this morning, and unknowingly so, some of you are under a curse, and some of you are under a curse because of something that you've done. In the second session this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the seven sins the Bible talks about that bring curses into our lives. Serious, serious issues that we've got to be sure that we deal with seriously. And then also in the last session this morning, I'm talking about generational curses, the way we respond to our parents' behavior that can bring a curse upon us, and also a family history that can bring a curse upon us. How many of you believe the Kennedy family is under a curse? Anyone believe it? It's undeniable that the Kennedys are under, they believe they're under a curse. And so you see that family, I want you to know there are millions and millions and millions of families on the planet today who are just as cursed as the Kennedys. That it's a generational issue. And I want this morning, by the end of this morning, I want to lead you to an understanding of blessings and curses so that when you leave here this morning, there is not one effect of sin that follows you out that door. Whether it was your family, whether it was ancestors in your life three or four generations back and you don't even understand what they did, or something that you have done, that you can leave here this morning absolutely free from your past and all the negative issues of your past, because not only are you forgiven, but every curse of sin has been broken by the power of Jesus Christ. That's why He died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross so the blessings of Abraham could come to you. And I'm not talking about a few blessings. I'm talking about every single blessing. Don't you dare live your life without every single blessing that Jesus came to give you. So we want to talk about it this morning. The biblical reality of blessings and curses and how they operate. So let's talk about this in this first session. First of all, we have to understand there's an invisible realm around us, a supernatural realm that we cannot see that operates around us every day. How many of you believe in angels, by the way? Anyone believe in angels here? Okay, we also know there are demons. Ephesians chapter 6 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against that. That's not what our battle is against. We have a television ministry. Marriage Today, our television ministry. Let me tell you what my goal is and what God has told me to do in America. God has sent me on a mission and us, our television ministry, on a mission to pull down a demon of divorce over America. That many people who divorce, I believe that, you know, they're helpless in the situation. When I mean helpless, I mean they're being driven by unseen forces they don't even understand. When they're sitting in their house and they're bickering and talking about calling their lawyers or whatever, they don't understand there's an unseen presence around them. They are being coached by an evil, unseen force. They don't even understand it. And when the disciples went out and began to minister in the name of Jesus, and they began to heal the sick and raise the dead up, they came back. And it's the only time in the Bible we see Jesus laughing. And Jesus was laughing out loud. And he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And Jesus partied on that day. Because an unseen force that had held that generation in bondage hit the ground. And Jesus said, just like lightning, he came down out of the heavenlies. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, there are issues happening in your life today. It's not about money. It's not about what you're eating. It's not about anything on the outside. You're dealing with unseen forces. There are angels. There are demons. There's God. There's the devil. And they're all around us. If our eyes could be open today, and we could see full reality. See, right now we're blocked from full reality. The only thing we see is the temporal realm. But understand, Jesus said, every child has an angel that beholds the face of God. How many of you believe that? It's not very encouraging to us adults, but every child has one. So every time you see a child, understand they're being attended. There's an unseen realm. 2 Corinthians, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Understand this, the temporal realm does not dictate to the spirit realm. The spirit realm dictates to the temporal realm. Don't worry about what's happening here. It changes. Worry about what's happening in the eternal realm. It never changes. That is the eternal realm of God. And what Paul is saying is we don't live our lives focusing on just what's happening in the temporal realm, though it's important. We live our lives focusing more on what's happening in the unseen realm. And so if we are going to deal now with this issue of blessings and curses, we have to first of all step out of an empirical American mindset where the only things we believe are the things that we can touch and feel and measure and study. That is a Western empirical mindset. We have to get into a full mindset, a biblical mindset of understanding there is an unseen spiritual realm. Number two, God alone reigns over the visible and invisible realms and has established His Word as the basis of all life and blessing. Let me say that one more time. When we understand that there is an invisible realm, we need to understand that God alone reigns in that realm. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 28. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. That means there is no authority left for the devil. Understand that anything the devil does in your life, you let him do. Anything the devil does in this city, the church has allowed him to do. Anything that the devil does in America, the people of God have allowed him to do. Jesus says in Matthew 16, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. And understand this, you need to rejoice this morning that the devil has no more permission to beat you up and to beat your family up and to beat your children up. You have the ability in the name of Jesus to stand up and bind the devil. All authority has been given to your Lord. You need to be happy about that this morning. the invisible realm around us. Jesus Christ is Lord on every continent, on every blade of grass or grain of dirt, everywhere in heaven and on earth. And listen to what John 1 says now about Jesus Christ and about the basis now of God's blessing in our life, which is always the Word of God. And this is what I want to say to you this morning. Curses always follow disobedience, and blessings always follow obedience. John chapter 1, this is speaking of Jesus in the distant eternal sense coming into now the human sense. It says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. It's talking about Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, the absolute expression of the will of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the beginning, in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. Let me stop right there. How were all things made? All things were made by the Word. Everything that God originally made in life before the fall was made by the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Nothing has been made without Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Well, I want to talk about this now for just a minute because this is critical. In the Bible, the words life and blessing are synonymous. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through Him, and without Him, nothing was created. In Him was life. In the Word was life, and that life was the light of men. What is light? Light is life force. If we go out today and the sun will not shine, the good farmers in this area cannot make a living because you can't have life without light. Light is the projected life force of God. It's like the sun. The sun shines today, and some people are seeing it, and some people are not. There is the life of God shining in the world today through Jesus Christ. It's called the light of God, the life force of God. And some people today, because they're blessed, are receiving of the light of Jesus, and others cannot because of the curses in their life. And God wants us in this life to be able to receive the full light of Jesus. Light only comes from the Word. You cannot be blessed apart from the Word. And that's what the point is making here. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. The children of Israel are entering into the promised land. I want you to listen to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we are told every single thing that happened to the children of Israel was written down for our instruction. Everything that God did, them coming out of Egypt, going through the wilderness, coming up to the border of the promised land, every single thing that happened to them was written for our instruction. Deuteronomy 30, here's what God said to them when they were entering into the promised land. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. God says to them, I'm setting before you today two ways. Now, you have a free will. God has given all of us a free will. He's not going to make you do anything. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that I'm not like my vacuum cleaner at home. My vacuum cleaner just has one setting, and that is on or off, and it can either suck or not suck. That's all it can do. There's no free will to it. It can't blow out the other way. And so, God has come to us and made us in His image, and here's what God understands. There is no value in forced worship. If someone has to love you and has to worship you, there's absolutely no value in that. That's a machine. That's a robot. God does not value people, beings, surrounding His throne, worshiping Him when they cannot choose not to. That's why a third of the angels in heaven fell. It's because even with Lucifer and all the angels who fell, God has even given angels the ability to reject Him if they want to. Because God puts no value in forced obedience or forced worship. He came to us and gave volition. That's why God put one tree out of the zillions of trees in the Garden of Eden. God only put one tree that there was a prohibition against. And the reason He did it is if there wouldn't have been one tree that they could have chosen to sin, their free will would have had no expression. It's no use in giving a person free will if there's no expression of that will. If everything's a right decision, there's no such thing as a free will. And God gave them one wrong decision that they could make so that there would be an expression of their free will, so that there would be value in the relationship that God had with them. And God's desire was for them to stay in the garden, but they didn't because they rejected God's will. And then God is bringing the children of Israel into a good land with milk and honey. That's what He wants to do with you. God has a promised land for you, and don't let the devil tell you any different.
Amen.
I don't care how long you've wandered in the wilderness, the promised land's still there. And God brings you up to the border of your promised land, and He says, now you still have that free will. Now my will is for you to live in a land full of milk and honey, blessed. That's my will for you. I want the blessings of Abraham in your life. And I died not only to forgive your sins, but remove all the curses from you and your family history. But here's what I want you to understand. I set before you today life and blessing and death and cursing. Now it's your choice. But understand this. Whatever you choose will make a difference of how you live and your children also. God tells the children of Israel, cling to me, obey my commandments, and if you will live and your children will live after you. It's a massive issue in the scriptures, this issue of life and blessing. John 1 says, in him was life, and the life was the light. Life was light. That light was the life force of men coming into the world to bless everyone. And God says it very clearly here also. The word life and blessing are synonymous. Listen to what Deuteronomy 30:20 says. And it says that God will bless us if we obey Him. John 8, here's what Jesus says. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, a lot of times we quote that scripture about the truth will make you free, but it doesn't begin there. Jesus says, if you hold on to my word, if you cling to my word, you are my disciples indeed. Then, if you cling to my word, the truth shall be revealed to you, and that truth will set you free. The key to freedom is the life of God. The key to blessing is the word of God. Matthew 4:4, Jesus is being tempted by the devil, and he says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How do you live? On every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Any word of God that you reject will exclude the life of God from you and bring death. Now, listen to this. This scripture in John 1:5 is one of the most fascinating scriptures in all the Bible. And here's what it says. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. It's talking about Jesus. And Jesus came, He created everything, and based on His word, He put life wherever His word existed, and that life is called light, which is the light force of every man. And it says that light came, the word of God came, and it shone in the darkness on the earth, and the darkness could not comprehend it. That word comprehend there is like a diamond. You can look at it from every direction and see something different, and all of it is true and all of it's wonderful. Listen to this. John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness could not comprehend it. It means three things, and I want you to listen to this morning. What does it mean that the light of God shines in the darkness and the darkness could not comprehend it? Three things, listen to this. It is impossible for the life and blessing of God to exist in darkness. The word comprehend there means it could not receive it. Whenever you find an area of your life that is disobedient to God, God can't bless it. Darkness cannot receive the light. This is what it's saying here. So understand, whenever you go back in your family history and you look at your mom and dad, or you look at your own life or whatever, you can't be blessed in an area that is disobedient to God. Here's the second thing that it means. It is impossible for darkness to overcome the life force of God's blessing. When it says that the darkness could not comprehend it, another word there is to overpower. Satan cannot overpower the blessing of God. Listen to Proverbs 26. It says, Proverbs 26:2 says, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, a curse without a cause cannot alight. A curse, two things. A curse must have a cause. And where there is a curse, there's a cause present. We're going to talk about that later this morning. Any curse that you find in your family or in your own life, you can always go back and find a cause there. When God comes and blesses you, there's nothing that Satan can do about it. Let me tell you something. If there's a blessing on your finances, there's nothing Alan Greenspan can do. He's totally helpless. If there is a blessing on your body, there's nothing the devil can do against that blessing. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overpower the light because the light is stronger. Here's the third thing that it means. It is impossible for darkness and light to mix in the spirit realm. You cannot combine light and darkness. James 1, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or turning of shadow. There's no such thing as living in the middle. And this is what Christian people need to understand. When you compromise your life and you take part of what the Bible says and part of what the world says and combine them, that's darkness. Anytime there's a shadow, James 1 says, there's no shadow with God. Anytime that we want to mix down the Scriptures and Americanize the Scriptures and you know, bring it into ourselves and homogenize it and decide what we want and what we don't want, we're cursed. You cannot mix light and darkness in the spirit realm. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that there was light, and saw that it was good, and He divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So there were evening and morning the first day. In your life, here's what I want you to understand. There is no shadow. If you could see your life today the way that God sees your life, you wouldn't see light and variations of light and some pretty light areas and pretty dark areas and then a dark area. You would see light and darkness. If you saw your life today the way God does, you would see absolute brilliant light and blessing, the life force of God, on the areas where you're obedient to God and His blessing comes. There's nothing the devil can do about it. He can't overpower it. In the areas that you're not being obedient to God, you would see pitch darkness and black there. There's nothing in between. God divided the light in the darkness, and the reason is because in His own nature, there's no variation with God. One of the most dangerous things that we have in our society today is compromise. We have people, you know, in America today, there are approximately 50 million people who call themselves born again. Ladies and gentlemen, if there were actually 50 million people in America living according to the standards of the Word of God, America wouldn't be like America is. The reason that America is the way America is because the people of God are not living like the people of God. We justify a tremendous amount of compromise and sin and understand you pay a heavy, heavy price, and so do your children. This is what God is saying. You can't play games. The thing that I think that is so important about this teaching is it helps us to understand the fear of God. What is the fear of God? The fear of God is understanding you don't get away with anything. Every time you're about to do something, understand when you take that path of compromise, you can pay Him now or pay Him later. You can either pay now by saying no to sin and living for God and receiving His blessing, pay through your submission, or you can go ahead with what you're doing, but I tell you, you never get away with anything. Never get away with anything. Have you ever heard your children say that? We never get away with anything. That's the idea. Mom and Dad are omnipresent and omniscient. So is God. He's always with you. Understand, Jesus said this, you will give an account one day in heaven, this is what Jesus said, for every idle word you've ever spoken. Let me ask you this, how could God hold you in account for every idle word you've ever spoken if He wasn't there to record it? God is with you wherever you go. Every thought, every word, every action, every attitude, there's a consequence. This is what God said to the children of Israel. There's going to be a consequence. You just need to understand you're not going to get away with it. And if you'll obey Me, I promise you the life force of God in your life. I promise you blessing if you'll obey Me. I promise you curses if you don't. And that's still in force today. God established the penalty for rebellion against His word as death, and that penalty is still in force. Now, I want you to listen to me as I talk about this. In Genesis 2, He says, in the day that you eat of that fruit, you'll die. But here's what Romans 6:23 says in the New Testament. Because some people might say, well, you know, you're just preaching Old Testament. Here's the New Testament, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is, not will be and not wasn't. The wages of sin is death. Wages, plural. Not wage, Like when you do something wrong, there's only one thing that could happen to you. There are wages of sin. There are many, many, many ways that God can take it out of our hides. God is extremely creative, and everybody says, oh no, because He's very creative. The wages of sin. He can take it out of your money or out of your health or out of your marriage or out of your mind or out of any area that He wants to take it. There are many ways that God can exact these wages, but they're death, just like He told Adam and Eve. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Free gift is eternal life. Where is eternal life? In Christ Jesus. Who is Christ Jesus? The Word. The wages of sin, what is sin? Rebellion against God's Word. The wages of sin is today. The wages, I want you to understand something. If you're a blood-bought believer in Christ and you're on your way to heaven, you can live a very cursed life. It doesn't take very much examination to understand Christians can be cursed. And some people say, I don't believe it. Well, don't believe it all you want to. You know, don't believe it on your way to the poorhouse, and don't believe it on your way to the doctor, and don't believe it on your way wherever. But I'm just telling you, look around you, Christians can be cursed. If we disobey, there's still a penalty. Well, let me just ask you a question. Let's just think through it here. Can a Christian still be punished by God? Anyone? Are we exempt from the discipline of God? Are we? When you become a Christian, does it mean there are no more demons and they can't affect your life? And I'm not talking about being demon-possessed. I'm just talking about being attacked. Sin is an open door for the devil. And what Paul is saying here is the wages of sin are still in existence. Death and curses are promised to us as the wages of our sin. And here's the twofold curse of sin. The life of God is withdrawn. He does not withdraw His love, nor eternal life. But He withdraws of His blessing. Spiritual darkness and Satan have access to come and to steal, kill, and destroy. Because we've stepped off of God's property, which is His Word and His blessing, and now we've given them an opportunity. Proverbs 3:33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the home of the just. Malachi 3, God comes to Israel, and they will not tithe to Him, they will not obey Him, and God says, you're cursed. The whole nation of you, you're cursed with a curse because you're robbing Me. However, if you would obey Me in this thing, I would rebuke the devourer. Who is the devourer? It's God's collection agency. God has a collection agency. You don't want to pay? He sends His collection agency. And He says, oh, you'll pay. Everybody pays Me because I have a collection agency. And God says, Israel, look around. You're cursed. Your families are cursed. Your finances are cursed. Your health is cursed. You're not living the way I called you to live. Let me explain it to you. You're robbing Me and you won't obey Me. But if you would change your heart and you would obey Me, I would personally take that devourer and lock him up. And I would take the windows of heaven and I would pour out a blessing until you couldn't receive it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, this thing is still true. And here's the way that you can understand this. Now, in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, let me read this and we'll close. Deuteronomy 27 and 28, the children of Israel come in to the promised land, and there are two mountains now. There's Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And Ebal means a bare mountain. It's cursed. There's nothing there. And half of the leaders of the tribes of Israel stand on Mount Ebal, and half of the leaders of the children of Israel stand on Mount Gerizim facing each other with the priests in the middle. And the priests are reading the blessings and curses of God. And as they're reading these blessings and curses, the children of Israel say, Amen. And in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, and you can go into detail here. If you want to go home and read it, go home and read it. But God pronounces blessings if the children of Israel obey Him, and specific curses if they don't. Let me read you now. Well, the blessings, exaltation, prosperity, health, victory, reproductiveness, and God's favor. These are the blessings that God offers. Let me tell you seven indications of a curse. A great book called Blessings or Curses You Can Choose by Derek Prince. Based on Deuteronomy 28, here are indications that you are cursed. And in the next session now, we're going to talk about the seven sins that bring these curses in our lives. Now, just because these things happen doesn't necessarily mean that a person is cursed. Don't hear me saying that. But If you see these things in your life, they are indications of the fact that you're under a curse or your family is under a curse. Number one, mental or emotional breakdown. A history of mental or emotional breakdown. God says to the children of Israel, if you go into the promised land and you disobey me, I will bring confusion and madness upon you. It's one of the curses that God brings. Number two, repeated or chronic sickness, especially if it's hereditary. You know, there are families that have hereditary illnesses that follow their families. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't tell me that's a blessing. You can't tell me it's a blessing to be living your life and know that five generations of your family have all had cancer and that you may have it also. In fact, someone says, you're going to have it. No, I'm just telling you, I don't have to have all the curses of my family. They can stop with Jesus Christ. He can break that off of me. But repeated or chronic sickness, it doesn't mean that every time you get sick that that's a curse. It just means if it's repeated, chronic, it could be a curse. Barrenness, a tendency to miscarry or related female problems. If it's a pattern, if it happens chronically, if it's in your family history, that can be an indication. Number four, breakdown of marriage and family. Relationships don't last. There's just a constant problem in keeping relationships, especially in the area of marriage and family. Number five, chronic financial insufficiency. You just can't get ahead. There's just an unseen force. One of the words that best describes a curse is frustration. When you see a person under a curse, there's just a frustration. There's a frustration with relationships. There's a frustration with health. I just can't ever stay healthy. There's a frustration with money. I just can't ever get ahead. I can't get my bills paid. If I get $1,000, there's $1,050 worth of bills to pay. There's just a frustration here. Being accident prone. It's always happening to you. Say, well, there's just always an accident happening around me or to me or something like that. That could be an indication. And seven is a history of suicide and unnatural or untimely deaths, like the Kennedys. In the last section today, I'm going to talk to you about the Kennedy family and just the things that have happened to them. And so here's what we need to understand, is there's a penalty for sin. There's a serious penalty for sin. You never get away with anything. God is God and He has all authority and He's omnipresent and omniscient. And He has set up a very, very user-friendly system. And His system is, if you want to live life His way, it'll be so much easier and He'll bless everything you do. He will come, He'll bless your body, He'll bless your marriage, He'll bless your children, He'll bless your health. He'll give the blessings of Abraham to you and you won't be mostly blessed, you'll be totally blessed. And you'll live in that blessing and there's nothing the devil can do. He cannot rob that blessing away, because the darkness cannot comprehend the light. However, if you think that you're special, if you think that you are something, and you want to live your life sloppy, if you want to live your life in rebellion or independence or whatever, and you want to violate or compromise the Word of God, you're cursed. Not because God doesn't love you, and not because Jesus didn't die to remove that curse. It's because you have to come to Jesus and repent of sin to be forgiven and for that curse to be removed. And repentance, ladies and gentlemen, means to change your mind. What does it mean to change our mind? I'm not going to live the way I've been living anymore. I'm not going to live for myself. Jesus says in Matthew 16, if anyone wants to be my disciple, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. There's got to be a change of the way you're living. You can't live like everyone else is living. You can't live sloppy. You can't live with an attitude. If you're going to live blessed, it means that you're careful to observe the laws of God, careful to observe the Word. Well, you say, Jimmy, but I fail every day. That's why the blood flows every day, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus didn't die on the cross to give you the ability to live sloppy. He died on the cross to give you the ability to fail and get back on your feet. And when we sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And whenever we sin, if we will confess our sins, He's faithful and He'll forgive us. Keeping short accounts with God, living carefully. But what if we're just living sloppy and the only things that we're confessing are murder and extortion and the big ones? But so many of the everyday events that we know are compromises and that we know are disobedient, that we don't even bother with those things because of grace. You're cursed. You're cursed with a curse. Not because He's not loving, not because He's forgiving, but because His love and forgiveness flow where He finds a person who's repentant. Repentant of what? Repentant of rebellion. Rebellion to what? His Word. In Him is life. That's the light that brings His blessing into your life. It's the only thing that can bring His blessing. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word, not most of the words, not some of the words, not the ones that don't offend you, but on every word. How do you get blessed? You accept everything that God has to say, and you just accept the fact He's smarter than me, and that's why they call Him God. And I submit my life to this right here. It's Satan's worst nightmare for you. If you pick this thing up and read it and believe it and do it, you're blessed with the blessing of God. And when you fail, you repent, you're forgiven. The effects of that sin are removed by your repentance every day, moment by moment. But anything other than that is short of God's standard, and it results in serious consequences that the Bible calls curses.
This concludes session 3. Please continue with Sins That Bring Curses Into Our Lives, the next teaching in this series.